Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, Olivier Van Neste. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
So, for those that out there that don't know, well, I would say that most people don't know you because you are the man that works behind the scenes. Your company is called Graphalix. And what is really important about this company is branding for the nautical industry. Now, we know that in this industry, there is a high rate of crew turnover. You see kids coming in at 17, 18. They don't plan on staying in it forever. They actually want to make enough money to start up their own company or move on to something else. But and even at the end of life, for some stewardesses, example, or you know, I know chefs that have decided that they want to come off the yachts and they want to go land based. They don't have marketing experience. They don't have branding experience. They don't know how to go about creating, you know, a company image that will sell. And that's where you come in. So tell us a little bit about your business.
So, it's a branding agency, which is specialized for the nautical industry. So this means that we just try to help people that come either from the yachting industry or nautical related industries with business ideas, because many of them have good business ideas, as you said, and they don't want to spend all their lives on yachts, but some of them are saving and want to set up their own company. So we help these people with a little bit of strategy, how to start the business up with a good plan. So we dive deeper into like, what is their target audience? Who are they aiming for? And related to that, then create an image according to that target audience they have in mind.
Let me ask you, how important is that image when it comes to showing off your company? Is that like one of the number one things that you need to look out for?
It does say a lot about your company. Like if it resonates unconsciously, even like colors, and it's pretty important, or more important than most people think. It's not just I have a logo from somewhere and I put my name under it and I'm ready to go. It is more than a logo anyways. Also, as I said before, like color schemes are important, even the way of your letter types, it is all related. If you have a clear focus on who your target audience is, it will be easier to communicate to them the right values, because nowadays company values are more and more important as well for the customer. Like people just don't buy from anyone anymore. They want to somehow feel connected with the brand or with the company. And it becomes so important that big companies spend a lot of money on it to get these messages right. So if you start this from the beginning, it will, many people think, oh, I will clean it up later in a later stage. And in a later stage, it becomes A, much more time consuming and B, more expensive, because so many things have already been set up, and to redo these things then is very time consuming, and many people then somehow don't have the time or don't have the money. So it's better to do it straight from the beginning, because in the long run you will profit from it. It's an investment you make.
So you also cover the web design as well. And in a day and age where people have, you know, sort of given up the magazines, they're not, you know, not only is it inconvenient to walk around with them, but on top of that, with COVID and everything else that's going on, people don't want to touch them for fear of whatever. So everyone's got their phone. So how important is it that you think of your digital imprint prior to anything else?
Absolutely. Very important is the website. And it is like your walking or all-time business card. Many people will check out a company online, maybe not to buy online, but just to have a feeling like, who is that company? And although there is, of course, like social media, yes, you can set up a free Instagram account or you can have a Facebook page, but this is where like real professionals stand out from semi-professionals. Like your website, there's a lot of information you can display there and talk about your company values or display your company values. And that whole feeling can be displayed in a very efficient way with your target customers.
Well, it isn't a web page something or a website story, something that really ties, even if you were extremely active as I am on social media and you cover all the topics and basics, you know, Instagram, mm-hmm. YouTube, you've got presence everywhere. It's almost like you need that one landing spot where it ties everything in together and can also branch everybody back out again.
Yeah. And it's one of the only things you really can control, because if tomorrow Instagram shuts down, you lose all your content. If Facebook, for whatever the reason, you know, they own almost your content. So this is very important to keep in mind. The website is really something you really have always under control. And another thing is you can also collect a lot of useful data, analytics, where your customers come from, how do they navigate on the web, ages, sexes, but you can also collect email addresses to use for in a further stage email marketing. So these tools are still important. It's not, of course, the only thing. They work hand in hand with the other tools. As you said, social media, of course, is important. It's not like I should have only social media or I should only have a website. They all work hand in hand.
Well, yeah, because I could imagine that, you know, the necessity to have that web page there. And as you said, you know, it's great to have all these free forms of social media. But at the end of the day, if something is free, it's not yours.
Exactly. And one other downside from the social media, especially in the beginning, if you set up and maybe you won't have a very big team, say like social media managers, which in the end will a good one will cost money as well. So maybe in the beginning, your whole setup is not so broad as like an established bigger company. To maintain all these channels is a lot of work as well. So many people start in the beginning, yeah, and many things and posts and this and that, but then it starts slacking down. So that is another very difficult one to keep in mind, that the website is somehow much more easier to control and to maintain than all that dynamic social media.
And for you, so you take over, you take their website and you basically manage it for them. So whatever changes they need, whatever needs updating, what types of website? Do you do e-commerce websites? Do you do all that kind of thing as well?
Yeah. So there's different type of websites. So e-commerce is one of them that we maintain, of course, as well. Or we can also do a small in-house course for people that say we want to manage our website by ourselves. And then we set up a CRM system which they can access and change content. It could be blogs. It could just be content that changes once in a while. Some people prefer to have that flexibility. Other people just like to be comfortable with us maintaining the website. So there's different solutions for different type of businesses. But mainly the websites we create are for profiling businesses. So within the yachting industry, there is not that much, or at least not where we are aiming for that e-commerce stuff. But these options, of course, are out there.
Yeah, just for the simple fact that I know that a lot of people that do come off the yachts, you know, they do decide to set up ethical yachting companies as far as clothing, as far as provisioning, that kind of thing. So, yeah. You know, the need to have an e-commerce site. Now, let me ask you, how long have you been doing this type of work, not necessarily in the nautical industry, but overall?
Well, I studied graphic design and finished my studies. That was in 96. And in the meantime, I've been setting up my own small businesses. And I've always been doing my own branding, so to say. So since 3 years, I've set up my own agency now that is specialized for the nautical industry.
So in your experience, because 1996 is a while ago, I remember when the first websites were ever going out, there was this huge push to be like dark blue. That was the professional color that everybody had to have on their websites. And if you didn't have that color, then you weren't, you know, considered serious. Do you remember those days?
Those are the days, and those days, especially in the corporate world, still exist. Blue is just seen by most men and most women as the most beautiful color. So it's the most neutral color, and it displays trust and confidence. It's just the color psychology hasn't really changed over the years, over the decades. It doesn't mean you have to do, of course. There's even big businesses that use pink, which would be like a total female color and a non-corporate color. But it depends on how you really want to impact, how you want to stand out from the crowd. Different solutions are possible. Depends again here on what values you want to convey, and what kind of customer you want to attract.
What types of design changes have you seen since then? What are people looking for? What are people liking? Like, you spoke about the psychology of it. Have you noticed that there has been a change in how people see things from the boomer generation to the Gen X? What is the change in that?
There are many trends, and some trends come and go again. Nowadays, what is very trendy is the 3D image and illustrations with a lot of gradients. And this has all to do also with the technologies that are coming up. They go sometimes hand in hand. But what you do see is that the timeless designs, good design never gets old. And I think that is what many companies, the successful companies, they keep that in mind. Especially with the younger people, they try to go on the trends, because if they create their company in 2022 and the trends of 22, they apply all that or only that, then it won't stand the test of time. So there has been, for example, gradients. There was a time, I think it was in the 90s, gradients was huge popular. Then it disappeared again because the quality, especially in print and so, was not so good. But now, because of the whole resolution on screens and, again, technology has brought gradients back again. But it might disappear soon again. So it is something you need to be very wise and very careful with these trends. Flat design as well. It was, you know, when Microsoft did their big rebranding, they introduced that flat design, then it disappeared again, and a few years ago it was popping up again. So this all kinds of designs that pop up, some make it to the mainstream and others don't make it to the mainstream. I try to really keep timeless, the word timeless, in my head when I help companies with brand identities.
Well, speaking about trends and brand identity and timeless, one of the things that I do notice, and I'm not sure if it's the broader world or if it's a result of sort of the Instagram culture, but a lot of the new companies in the nautical industry, they don't have a logo. It's all about their face. What would you say to them if they are looking to make a company that is long-term and sustainable? Is that a smart idea?
Okay. What do you mean with the face?
Their brand is them. They don't, you know, they're trying to build a company, whether it be a consulting company or whether it be a marketing company or whether it be whatever the company may be, once they get off the boats, but their brand is them. They don't have a logo. Okay. They're using their image as opposed to, which is, you know, typical Instagram culture, right? You know, you want your image out there all the time. If they're looking to build a sustainable business, does that make sense?
It can make sense if you do your personal branding, and it's not only in the yachting or even like in the whole coaching scenes, like many coaches, of course, then if it's like really you as a person, it can make sense. It depends a little bit on what type of business you are using. Many people combine then their face with just their name, their full name, or rather a part of their name or some nicknames they use, they want to go ahead with it. It is very authentic. So there won't be two people like you with your face and with your name. So it can be, but it needs to be accompanied, I think, with much more or with other elements that will cooperate together and have a clear message to your customers.
Right, because I, you know, aside from Kentucky Fried Chicken and Colonel Sanders, I can't think of a company that has, you know, has any longevity using somebody's face. I just, you know, I haven't seen it. Yeah, you know, Colonel Sanders was one of those one-offs, right? And I think they changed his image over time.
Correct.
But it's not a business model that would have longevity, because what happens if, you know, you got old and ugly, or because that happens too, right? I mean, you know, it happens. Yeah. You don't want to be 95 years old all wizened over.
Or you want to partner up. Or you want to partner up, or you want to broaden your product range or your services. So there is, of course, like really to keep things in mind and have a long-term vision. Therefore, it is important to say, to have a bit of a brand strategy, like what are your short-term goals, your mid-term goals, your long-term goals. Like this is where we dive in before we even design, say, brand identities for companies or rebrand for companies. Is that really to make clear where do you want to go as a company, even if that company is just a one-man show, which is absolutely fine. But once again, the clearer you set all that images and your parameters, the more you will profit on the long term from it. And these are for sure elements you need to keep in mind.
And all these things are things that you can help somebody setting out to do.
Exactly, yeah.
And you also host as well. So it's like one-stop shopping. You know, you decide this is what I want to do. This is my strategy. This is where I'm going. And it's quite simple to bring it all to you and say, here it is, help.
Yeah. So I do cooperate with a brand strategist as well. So some things are, some projects are cooperated or are a collaboration with other freelancers. And other projects are just managed entirely by me.
And where is most of your client based? You know, because the one thing that I've noticed in social media is that one of the things that is, you know, different areas have different trends, you know, as it were. You know, in the United States, TikTok is huge. And you know, then you head over to England, and that's more Instagram or Facebook. You know, each area around the world has different things. Do you find that creating a web page is the same sort of concept with you, that you have to take a look at the different areas of the world or what they're, you know, for example, they're targeting women as opposed to men? Does that create into your design strategy?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Different cultures have different requirements on how they want to express themselves, or even as a company, how they want to express themselves as a company. The Asian market, for example, is totally different, how they want to use. And even colors can mean in different parts of the world also different things. So it is, of course, important to know where your customers come from, or where they come from, because it does have an impact on the overall design.
Is it true that if it's a Chinese marketplace, you don't use red?
It is true, because red, I don't know if it's now a bad luck, what they have as bad luck. But yeah, this is one
of the things. That just goes to show, it depends on the marketplace you're after, because, you know, if you were after a certain marketplace and used a color that, you know, the entire culture couldn't stand, well, I mean, you'd be dead before you even started.
Yeah, I'm not after the Chinese market, so, because with the language and
yes, of course, but it just goes to show that around the world there's many you know, different things that work and don't. Well, you know, it's really interesting, because I think this is something that a lot of people haven't had the opportunity. Yes, we can go out and we can find a web designer. We can go out and we can find somebody who's a branding strategist. We can go out and we can find some, but yachting is such a very unique, and the nautical market is such a very unique market. It's such a niche market. And to be able to go to somebody like you and say, look, this is my idea. This is what I want, to be able to collaborate with somebody who specializes in what you're trying to specialize in, I think gives you a leg up on the competition right from the start.
Yeah. And I've had back in the days, I was still living in Mallorca. So I've been working as a day worker. So I've seen the scene, how the people are from one side. I worked in Sardinia, in Italy, as a yacht agent as well. So I do have an understanding from the other side, both from the clients as from the crew as well. So it is a very useful and valuable knowledge to have been in that side, because I can imagine if you step off of a yacht and you go to any printing company, or you try to give a little bit of information on how that is, and people have not been there, it can be quite challenging to explain that. So that is very important, and especially if the people who work on yachts will have end customers within the same world, then it is important to have an understanding of that role.
Well, and one of the things that I have to say is that price-wise, and I'm not going to say the price here, but price-wise, I got to say, hands down, you know, it for me anyways, and I'll be honest with you, he has done my website and I was over the moon with the job that he did. But price-wise, hands down, it was the most affordable that I have come across ever.
Yeah. So once again, there are no real fixed prices. It all depends on project, from project to project. And let's put it this way, how big the problem is to be solved, because in the end, it is a solution and is a long-term solution we are trying to offer. So it is an investment you make in yourself as a company, and the things that are done right from the beginning, they will last you a long time. And if you just calculate on how many interactions your customers will have with either the logo or the website, and you break that down over a period of 5 or 10 years, then value becomes the word to look after. So it's not only a cost. Of course, there is different price ranges out there, super expensive. We are a smaller agency, so we don't go to the big companies, or we don't play with the big companies at this, or right now at the moment. If they come, of course, we will be ready for them.
Well, you know, just for an example, I know that back home in Canada, one company quoted me 10 grand. So, and that was a starting website. So you could, you know, when I say that the prices are phenomenal, and, you know, what you've done for me, I was over the moon. I was thrilled. It looks great. And I know that there's many more things we can do with it as time goes on and I invest more and change, because just because you've got that website built, it doesn't mean you stop. You know, you need to keep it fresh. You need to keep it up to date, whether it be changing the information on the site as you grow, or if things change. But there's always I think it's always a good idea to keep it moving so that people know that you're making sure your image is looked after as well.
Absolutely. And not only for people, but especially for the Google search engines, because they like fresh content. So a blog is, for example, one of the techniques that is being used on websites just to keep your site up to date. And as you said before, it is a tool. It will never be finished, so to say. It is a living document, a living medium. So it is important that you work with it in all senses, that you keep in mind, you analyze what works, what doesn't work. So that is very important, that you keep your website at least once a year, a few minor changes.
I'm going to have to get on that. Note to self. I think it's been a little bit of a while since I've had some changes that I do need to take care of. So thanks for the reminder. I think sometimes as business owners, we get so wrapped up in so many things that we tend to forget sort of what the cornerstones are of what keeps our business floating.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Well, Olivia, I have to say thank you ever so much for your time. It's been very much appreciated and very informative as well.
Okay. Thank you as well, Ria, for your time and for having this conversation with me.
Yeah. Well, anytime. We'll have to have you back in, you know, a few months when I update my webpage and we can tell everybody what we've done and brag about it.
Exactly.
Right. This has been Graphalix. And if you are interested, to the audience out there, if you are interested in starting up your business, or you have started up your business, but you're finding that you're having difficulty with the web page or with any sort of branding whatsoever or strategy, do get a hold of Olivier. I will provide his website and his email address.
Yep.
Okay. And his email address, in case anybody is interested in getting a hold of him and seeing what services he can offer. And I can say from personal experience, there is no one on the face of the planet that I recommend more than him to do your webpage. So
thank you, Ria.
The best. Yes. Once again, you've been watching another edition of Yachtly Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I have been your host. See you again next time.